News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Dr. Stephen Sinatra, board-certified cardiologist and anti-aging specialist. He's been a featured guest on many national radio and television shows, including CNN, MSNBC, Fox, The Dr. Oz, and The Today Show. As co-author of The Great Cholesterol Myth, he's here today revealing what we thought we knew about cholesterol is all wrong. Welcome back, Dr. Stephen Sinatra. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Sinatra, great, great topic here today. A question for you. We're all told about the good and bad cholesterol levels in the blood. Are these no longer important?
Well, there's less emphasis, David. I mean, look, the most important thing about cholesterol, and this is where the old terminology doctors agree and the newer breed of doctors that believe in the particle testing and the small particle LDL and the LP little a, but there's agreement on this. We like, or everybody likes, the triglyceride to HDL ratio. In other words, if your triglyceride are, let's say, 100 or below, and your HDL is 50 and above, and if you just did that ratio, it's less than 2 or 2, that's a great ratio. The problem that I saw in my office many times, and especially with diabetics or insulin-resistant people or people with metabolic syndrome, is we'd see triglycerides of 300 and, let's say, an HDL of 30, and that's a ratio of 10. That is very that's a very inflamed person. So these people I'm very cautious about. And, again, that's a situation where you want to lower triglycerides, you want to use diet, you may want to use omega-3s, well, definitely omega-3s, you know, pycnogenol to lower blood sugar, things like that. You want to use things to lower hemoglobin A1C, and that's what I believe in. Now, the newer particle testing is also terrific because that dissects LDL into different particles, and it's not just the small particle BB shot LDL, which we talk about in The Great Cholesterol Myth, but it's also the number of particles. So if you have, let's say, a high LDL and it's the bad type of LDL, remember, not all LDL is bad. The TV says, they simplify it, they say the bad LDL cholesterol and the good HDL. Look, there's dysfunctional forms of HDL as well. I mean, and we're just learning about that. There's several forms of HDL, there's several forms of LDL. But if you do have LP little a, for example, and that's the one, and if it's heart disease in the family, if it runs in the family, they must, instead of getting a cholesterol and the blood sugar, they must get an LP little a because that's carried genetically. And that's a very, very small cholesterol particle that will cause inflammation and clotting and what we call, doctors call it, thrombosis. So you want to know if you have those types of bad cholesterol particles. Now, if the cholesterol particle is a fluffy LDL particle and you have a good functional HDL, I mean, who cares? And a lot of people, you know, carry those profiles. But again, you know, it's oversimplified when you get a total cholesterol, an HDL, and an LDL. You have to go way beyond that.
So say that test again. So there is a test they can go that's even more accurate than what we've been told. What is that test they can go to and ask their doctor
for? Oh, well, they go by different names. It's almost like alphabet soup. But the VAP test, a vertical orbital profile, is good. The NMR test is good. I like the lipoprotein profile. That's an LPP test. You know, these newer tests really look at all the different forms of LDL and HDL, and they all get LP little a as well. And they also look at triglycerides, David, which is very important because there's a particular triglyceride particle. We call it VLDL3. It's highly inflammatory, and those particles are worse than having, let's say, you know, just a high cholesterol. Triglycerides, inflammatory triglycerides, are really a major problem. But again, you know, we don't look at sugar. We don't look at triglycerides. We're focusing on cholesterol, and unfortunately, that's a poor marker compared
that's
to the
other. Now, in our last show, you talked about the importance of having C-reactive protein in the blood measured. Is this test still considered a good predictor of cardiovascular disease?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure. In other words, all the inflammatory tests, the fibrinogen, C-reactive protein, homocysteine, LP little a, even serum ferritin, which is an iron test, which can react to inflammation, any of these tests show that the person is inflamed. And if they are inflamed, that's the cause of all diseases, whether it's cancer or multiple sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease or coronary disease or arthritis. So we don't want our bodies to be inflamed, and those tests will pick up if there's silent inflammation.
You know what's interesting? I've interviewed so many brilliant doctors, authors, scientists who all have conflicting beliefs from North to South Pole. But one thing most agree on is inflammation is the root of all disease. So it's you know, like, why can't we all get along? We are getting along. We all know that. Most of us agree with that. How can people lower inflammation in the body if these tests come back positive?
Well, I mean, one of the best ways, again, is to lower sugar. So again, you know, a healthier fat, you know, moderate protein, lower carbohydrate diet. Now, look, if your carbohydrates are complex with high fiber fruits and vegetables, that's fine with me. But again, it's those bad carbs we talked about before, you know, those sugary carbs. We have to really eliminate those or use those far less often. So that's important. You know, and then if you do have high inflammation, you've got to look at omega-6 oils in the diet. That's a no-no. I mean, one of the things that I do like about the pure vegetarians, they avoid oils. Remember, if you avoid the omega-6s, you're doing yourself a world of good. So omega-6, you know, corn oil is a very inflammatory oil, for example. Right. Pure soybean oil, canola oil, these are all pro-inflammatory. And then, basically, you want to emphasize the omega-3s, you know, the squid oil. I like squid because it's higher DHA. Fish oil is fine. Krill oil is fine. But I prefer higher DHA over EPA, again, because as a cardiologist, the DHA gets more into the brain, heart, and eyes, which is really perfect for, you know, a guy like me. So omega-3s are important. Lowering sugar is really important. You know, cinnamon as an herb I really like. I like bentholtamine, which is a B vitamin that lowers blood sugar. I love pycnogenol. Pycnogenol lowers blood sugar, you know, really nicely. And I don't know if you talked about this in your program, but citrus bergamot is now one of my favorite flavonoids. It's a multi-flavonoid combination from these citrus fruits in Italy, where they not only lower you know, triglycerides and blood sugar, but they raise HDL, and there is research to show that it may have a positive impact on hemoglobin A1C. So any of these entities to lower inflammation are great.
Right. I think that last one sounds better than squid oil to our listeners.
Well, squid or, you know, the better name is calamarine. Calamarine oil is the name for squid oil, but people say, well, what's calamarine? And they say, well, it's squid.
All the ladies listening roll their eyes, squid oil? No way. I'd rather have heart disease than put that in my mouth.
Remember one thing about squids. They only live for about 450 days in the ocean. So basically, the reason why I prefer it over fish oil is, you know, the oceans are contaminated. I mean, we all know that. You know, unless if your fish oil comes from sardines and anchovies, but then I worry about arsenic and those little fish as well. I mean, see the problem in a guy like in my world, you know, things are good and things are better, and you always have to be staying ahead of the curve, you know, leading edge and cutting edge.
So. I mean, that's who you are. That's why we love having you on the show. What's your opinion on eggs? So many people think stay away from eggs, high cholesterol. Share your belief on eating eggs for breakfast.
I had eggs this morning for breakfast. I mean, I love eggs. I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, eggs are great. I get the cage-free eggs. I get DHA-fortified eggs. I love eggs. And look, you know, again, that's another myth. I mean, you can eat 2 eggs a week or 5 eggs a week. You're not going to budget cholesterol, by the way. You're not going to budget one iota. I mean, there's been studies on that. And, you know, will cholesterol contribute to saturated fat? Sure they are, because, you know, the yolk is saturated fat. But look, the yolk contains magnesium. It has sulfur. It has phosphatidylcholine in it, lecithin. We need these substances. It has magnesium in it.
Lecithin.
Yeah, the yolk is very, very important. Now, the white is important because it's a perfect protein. So eggs are a perfect substance to use in the diet. But again, I like organic eggs because I'm afraid of chemicals.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sinatra, and for more information about Dr. Sinatra's book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, visit heartmdinstitute.com. Dr. Sinatra is graciously providing us some free copies for our Whole Body Transformation Challenge, so make sure you register at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Remember, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. Yes, Dr. David Friedman, I was right. So this is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman. You're listening to Your Good Health Radio. Stay well.